Recently, the medical researcher Wendy Levinson recorded hundreds of conversations between a group of physicians and their patients. Roughly half of the doctors had never been sued. The other half had been sued at least twice, and Levinson found that just on the basis of those conversations, she could find clear differences between the two groups. The surgeons who had never been sued spent more than 3 minutes longer with each patient than those who had been sued, 18.3 minutes versus 15 minutes. They were more likely to make orienting comments, such as, "First I'll examine you, and then we will talk the problem over," or, "I will leave time for your questions," which help patients get a sense of what the visit is supposed to accomplish and when they ought to ask questions. They were more likely to engage in active listening, saying such things as, "Go on, tell me more about that," and they were far more likely to laugh and be funny during the visit. Interestingly, there was no difference in the amount or quality of information that they gave their patients. They didn't provide more details about medication or the patient's condition. The difference was entirely in how they talked to their patients. It's possible, in fact, to take this analysis even further. The psychologist Nalini Ambadi listened to Levinson's tapes, zeroing in on the conversations that had been recorded between just surgeons and their patients. For each surgeon, she picked two patient conversations. Then, from each conversation, she selected two 10-second clips of the doctor talking, so her slice was a total of 40 seconds. Finally, she content-filtered the slices, which means she removed the high-frequency sounds from speech that enable us to recognize individual words. What's left after content filtering is a kind of garble that preserves intonation, pitch, and rhythm, but erases content. Using that slice, and that slice alone, Ambri did a Gottman-style analysis. She had judges rate the slices of garble for such qualities as warmth, hostility, dominance, and anxiousness, and she found that by using only those ratings, she could predict which surgeons got sued and which ones didn't. Ambri says that she and her colleagues were totally stunned by the results, and it's not hard to understand why. The judges knew nothing about the skill level of the surgeons. They didn't know how experienced they were, what kind of training they had, or what kind of procedures they tended to do. They didn't even know what the doctors were saying to their patients. All they were using for their prediction was their analysis of the surgeon's tone of voice. In fact, it was even more basic than that. If the surgeon's voice was judged to sound dominant, the surgeon tended to be in the sued group. If the voice sounded less dominant and more concerned, the surgeon tended to be in the non-sued group. Could there be a thinner slice? Malpractice sounds like one of those infinitely complicated and multidimensional problems. But in the end, it comes down to a matter of respect. And the simplest way that respect is communicated is through tone of voice. And the most corrosive tone of voice that a doctor can assume is a dominant tone. Did Ambri need to sample the entire history of a patient and doctor to pick up on that tone? No, because a medical consultation is a lot like one of Gottman's conflict discussions or a student's dorm room. It's one of those situations where the signature comes through loud and clear. Next time you meet a doctor and you sit down in his office and he starts to talk, if you have the sense that he isn't listening to you, that he's talking down to you, and that he isn't treating you with respect, listen to that feeling. You have thin-sliced him and found him wanting.